Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. Good to be here again.
For those who are tuning in today, we hope that you would go back and also listen to the predecessor to this program, which is How to Talk to Your Children About Pornography. This program will be a companion program to that previous episode. So a lot of what we're going to talk about will piggyback off of what we established in that prior conversation as well. But we did make some allusions to it in that program, as far as how to overcome. You know, we know that in the life of any particular person that there's a struggle happening, and the struggle is acknowledged and repentance is desired, and the person is wanting to pursue holiness and honor God and fight, but it's a tough battle. And there's probably addiction and all sorts of other stuff coming along with it. So now that the sin is on the table, how do we as Christians, Shane, help ourselves and help others in finding victory over pornography?
Well, before we started the church, I used to speak at a lot of men's conferences. That was primarily what I did, talking to, hundreds, if not thousands of men, praying with them. And it's a big deal. It's a big issue, I'd say, in the lives of most of the guys I prayed with. And a couple things really stood out to me, you know, and answering this question. Number one is you have to really want it. You know, so many people, I'll tell this story. People have heard, I'm sure, my sermons before, but of one man at a conference, I think it was a Calvary Chapel men's conference up in Wrightwood. And I'll never forget where he was crying, said this is his last chance. His wife is leaving him and his addiction was pornography and things like that. So I said, well, you know, and I laid out, you know, accountability, transparency, repentance. I would get rid of the computer or TV for a while and show there's some trust. And he looked at me, he said, are you crazy? I'm a sports fanatic. In other words, he loved ESPN. He loved, and that's kind of the cheerleaders, I guess, triggered it or whatever he said. And so I looked at him like, well, how bad do you want it? But that's not uncommon. Most guys like A.W. Tozer used to say, don't come up here to the altar and cry about it. Go home and live it out. And so I think many men, they cry, they got caught, they want to, but there's this love of sin. Bottom line, there's this love of sin. And so you have to get really to a point where you say, God, this is sin. This is wrong. I'm repenting. I need your help. I don't want this. Whatever it takes, God, whatever it takes. And that is the opening door that is the first step in the right direction. And then obviously from there, we need, you know, what does that look like? Okay. If your phone is the issue, we've talked about this before, but there's something out there called Covenant Eyes or different sites where every single website you go to that's questionable will go to your spouse. Accountability partner is okay, but sometimes guys aren't as hard on you. I mean, if it's going to your spouse or your mom, you know, you might think twice. So you've got in my accountability, even it has sensitive blockers where sometimes I can't even get to YouTube, you know, and I want it that bad. I want to leave my phone out and my wife can look at it whenever she wants, no passwords. So there's full transparency, and actually sin grows in darkness. So, as you're transparent, as you're making these changes and initiating this new lifestyle, God will begin to bless that. But also it's hard for sin to grow in an honest heart saying, hey, I don't want to stumble here, or I've stumbled, I've fallen. I don't even want a phone for a while. I knew guys that would go back to the old phones with no internet on them and have their computer in their living room. So it wasn't as hard, and you minimize it. I mean, if your phone's with you all the time and things pop up, I mean, there's recently ads on Facebook where I'm like, I go to remove it because it's just, where are these coming from? So the more time you're spending online too, the more time you're going to be hit with these images. Starting there, repentance, really wanting to do it, and making the right changes. I mean, we all know what to do. We just don't do it. But you also can't just grin and bear it like, okay, tomorrow's going to be different because here comes the urge. And what pornography does is it's like dopamine. It affects that neurotransmitter, dopamine. And so where you feel better and you feel like a euphoria and a good feeling. So it's like a drug. It really is. It's like a drug that your person's taking. And so you have to pray, you know, God's help. I need help with this. And even in the mornings, you start, you know, your day with worship and the word. And for me, the more I'm focused on the things of God, the less lust has a stronghold in my life. I mean, it's just the bottom line. But for most men, they've opened this door and now it's a stronghold, just like any addiction, just like the alcoholic trying to stop, the Xanax user or Oxy or pornography. Now there's a stronghold. It has a stronghold on you. And now you've got to go to prayer and fasting, and you actually have to fight this battle with spiritual weapons. So accountability, for example, sure, get some accountability person at your church. Great. But it's not going to solve the problem. Because you can work around that. Maybe you don't talk to them for a week, or you're kind of vague. Yeah, it's going pretty good. Or yeah, it's going good. Or hey man, I stumbled yesterday. Sorry. Oh yeah, no problem. You know, get back up. And so there's just no, you know, accountability in and of itself will not work by itself, just if that's what you're relying on. And also, you shouldn't have somebody hold you accountable. The Holy Spirit holds you accountable. Your love for God and His Word holds you accountable. They're just an extra, a supplement to that, a supplement to that commitment to God. So I think all those things, you look at your prayer life, you look at your devotional life. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you worshiping? Are you minimizing media? Do you have safeguards on your phone? Are you transparent with your spouse and say, hey, I don't want to struggle with this at all. Let's pray every day. Let's pray over this. Let's commit to the Lord. And you start to do all those things, you're going to build a pretty strong foundation. Doesn't mean, you know, you don't fall, but you fall forward. You get back into that solid foundation. It's a fight. It's a battle.
I heard an analogy one time when I was younger in the faith, and I think it might have come from Paul Washer. I don't remember, but he was this was in the context of talking about, I believe it was a young man who struggled with fornication, or maybe he was at a men's conference talking to guys about who struggled with fornication or something. And he painted the picture of, like, you know, a guy with his girlfriend or whatever on the couch, like making out or something, and being lured into, you know, the context to not do something. And then all of a sudden the girl's ex Navy SEAL dad comes back from the shooting range with his M16 in his hand or whatever, and you're social distancing right away, to use a term from relevant times. But he says, what changed? And he says, the presence of the Father changed. But I think that's the thing is like, I had the privilege about a year and a half ago to lead, a youth retreat, and part, there are a number of talks that happen throughout the weekend of that retreat, and there are a few that deal with sexual purity and relational purity and things like this, and specifically because it's for teenagers, it's following the Lord in your singleness type stuff. But I remember we had kind of a roundtable going with our youth talking about, you know, strategies that they can do. But I actually had with me, and I know you've seen it, but I had a cross that my father made for me. I carried it with me all weekend. And there was one of the young men, who was talking about, you know, having a hard time, and again, kind of a charismatic guy. So you can imagine, like, when he's at school, it's very easy for him to talk to girls and gets approached by them and stuff like that. Athlete, you know, stuff like that. And so, but I went up to him and I said, take hold of this. And I gave him my cross. And I said, could you look at a woman the wrong way while you're holding that? And he said, there's no way I could do that, you know? But I think that's, you know, it's like, if you realize, like, that's just a visual representation of the intimacy with the Lord that every Christian, every believer has. And so it's just, that's the thing I think we come back to is, as the old hymn says, temptations lose their power when thou art nigh, you know? Mm-hmm. And if we realize that in any given moment, we are that intimate with the Lord, and how could, you know, it's when we believe we're absent from the Lord that those things all of a sudden become powerful, enticing, because there's something, I think for the Christian, this is a little bit of what I was alluding to on the last program. I think that there's a longing that a Christian goes through when they believe they're absent from the Lord. And they start looking for that in all these other things because they believe the Lord is not around. And that's a lie from Satan. The Lord is ever present, you know, in the hearts of his people through his Spirit. And that's the thing, is in that moment when temptation comes, can I put my eyes, my proverbial eyes, on Jesus?
Taking thoughts captive.
Yeah. And are we willing to radically do that? I have in my study, where I'm gonna have my computer, in my line of sight, where I'm looking at my computer right over the top of it, all I have to do is glance my eyes up, but right over the top of it, I have my cross, the same cross that I just talked about. And it's like, if there, like you said, a Facebook ad or something like that comes on, and it's like, you take a long look, I look up and I go, ooh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, he's right here. So,
you just made a great point too on, if I take a long look, that's the key too, right away when you notice, you know, like if I go to spam, I've never clicked on these emails, but they'll say, I mean, who knows, like, open this for these pictures, or, hey, I want to meet you, or whatever. You just go, I just hit the very top delete and hit delete, and it's end of story. You don't want to see who it is. The more you start to dwell on these things, so a temptation, Paul says to flee sexual morality. So, oh, here it comes. I need to flee. I'm not going to look at that. I need to flee. So that's why we have our computer actually in the living room. Anybody can walk from the hallway, just see what we're doing in the living room. And, you know, if I've noticed too, if, you know, in my life, if I'm in the Word and in the mornings or whenever I'm reading the Bible, you know, it's, there's not that desire usually, but it's when you're on social media.
Yep.
Or
opportune times.
I remember the church a while back took a beach trip to Santa Monica, and I told my wife, we're not doing that again this summer. I mean, my goodness, you know, but people have
Before Christmas.
Yeah. Go right before Christmas. But you have to be, you know, it's not being prudish. It's using wisdom. David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And if you're walking around and it's just nothing, a parade of flesh, I mean, we can even get into bathing suits 100 years ago, you know, and what's modest. I mean, what we're wearing now, I mean, just it's inviting lust. And so maybe I should, last closing point is, cause this will come up too. And the girls will say, in the way they dress, you know, well, that's not my problem. It's his problem. Well, true. It's his problem, not to lust, but it's also your responsibility not to create the environment in which lust can flourish. So we have dual responsibility. So Christian women should not be dressing alluringly, enticingly, showing too much. And men have a responsibility to take their thoughts captive and look away. You know, it's a balance. For me, like anyone else, if you're walking, you see someone, well, you just change your course of vision, and that temptation is gone. But if you sit there and start to dwell on it and focus on it, that's what temptation either is increased, fueled, or it is minimized, depending on whether you feed or starve it. So I hope that helped, unless you have any closing thoughts. But
yeah, one last thing I just wanted to throw in was, in the instance that somebody stumbles, you know, they fall, they realize the knowledge of their sin in a moment of weakness, they fell and they did something that they shouldn't have done. Going back to what I was saying about Christians having immediate intimacy with the Lord.
True.
Don't rely on your feelings to tell you when you should repent, because you will, I think a lot of people feel
they'll
like
stay in guilt forever.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think that's one thing where if you stay there, because, oh, I can't come to the Lord yet because I feel too dirty or I feel too shamed or whatever. Don't listen to that. And throw yourself on his promise of grace. And in that moment, maybe even before you feel like it, cry out to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. I repent of that. I acknowledge that in this very moment, I'm weak and it's something that I want to do, but I know it's something that you have said that I shouldn't do. And I want to honor you, Lord. And I'm asking you for help in that moment. And if you don't give if you don't give sin the time to really root itself, it won't grow. If the second best thing, if you can't rip out a weed while it's a seed, you know, if you can't nip it while it's a temptation, at least nip it while it's a sapling, you know, sort of a thing. And if you give it that time to really set and take root, then it's going to become a lot more dangerous than it ever has to. So if you have one instance where you went and you saw one image or one video and you realize within 5 minutes that this is something I shouldn't be doing and I need to repent of this, even if your flesh doesn't feel like it or your emotions don't feel like it, repent.
Yeah.
Tell the Lord that you're sorry, ask for his forgiveness, and make the commitment that in those moments that you're going to take steps to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I believe he blesses that.
Amen. Amen. Totally agree. So I think we gave him a lot of nuggets to chew on and to help. But
you deep know, fried.
I mean, and it's not about following. Let me write down all these things and let me follow these 10 points, you know. That will help you use wisdom. But ultimately, the closer you draw to Christ, the less porn is going to have a hold on your life.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Absolutely. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged. If you have a topic or an idea that you would like us to discuss on the podcast, please let us know. Send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Join us again on the next episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.